Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me as always, Corey Waldron making his comeback and special guest, Jack Manuel. What's up, fellas?
Corey's back. Jack's back. The crew's back.
You know, it's been a roller coaster. I just want to share this story. So if anyone knows, I've been in Florida the past, you know, week or so. We were supposed to come home on Thursday, and because of the bomb cyclone that ravaged the East Coast, we were stranded in Florida. You know, poor me, stranded in Florida.
In warm weather, my God.
Stranded.
Yeah, but this is the best part. So our flight got canceled twice, and then we get back to New York, and I make a joke at the baggage claim to my girlfriend and Nick's sister, Tori. I go, how funny would it be if our bags never show up?
Oh, no.
And how would you think this turns out? My bag doesn't show up, and they never put it on the plane, so my bag is still living the life in Florida.
But before we get started, just a quick reminder, you can listen to the NBA Outlet on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and OTGBasketball.com. But since Corey's been gone, the NBA All-Star votes have been released, so let's talk about that.
You know, obviously, All-Star voting is really important to the fans and everybody who watches the NBA. It's 50% fan vote, 25% media, and 25% players. So we're going to start with the East, and we're going to kind of break down and, you know, who is too high, too low, who needs more love. Start with the guards. We have Kyrie Irving, DeMar DeRozan, Victor Oladipo, Ben Simmons, John Wall, Dwayne Wade, Isaiah Thomas, Kyle Lowry, Bradley Beal, and Jaylen Brown.
Look, for me, there's just one thing that's too low. Like, Bradley Beal is ninth. He's a bona fide, not a bona fide, because for me last year, it was a travesty that he wasn't in, and the fact that Adam Silver gave the sort of legacy vote to Carmelo Anthony was a joke. Good to see Corey's boy Victor Oladipo getting some love, and Aussie Ben as well. So two certain loves of ours getting some love. Dwayne Wade's always going to get a huge amount of votes, as is Isaiah. But Kyle Lowry, Jaylen Brown's a real surprise to be in the top 10. Boston's certainly getting some love.
Yeah, I don't like Isaiah Thomas being that high. It bothers me that a guy who's only played in two games so far since coming back from that hip injury gets 87,000 votes. Not that he's not deserving of being an all-star, but he isn't this year yet. I mean, you have to play to be an all-star. And Kyle Lowry has had a really good season alongside DeRozan. I know DeRozan's obviously getting the spotlight in Toronto, but Kyle Lowry has had a really good bounce-back season from struggling in the playoffs. So the Isaiah Thomas voting is something that really bothers me.
Yeah, honestly, they should just take injured players off the ballot. More sense. There's no, you know, if they're taking votes away from other players, and, you know, it should just not be on there, and it's nothing against the player, because even if they do somehow get voted in, it's not fair to the guys who are busting their ass. So I'd rather see injured players or guys haven't played, you know, 10 games in the season, not. But I was surprised Victor Oladipo was so high. Not to say he doesn't deserve it, but I'm kind of happy the fans have given him some love.
Yeah, he certainly deserves it, Nick. He's had an outstanding season, and we saw his comeback last night, how important he is for the Indiana Pacers. I think I read somewhere on Twitter as well, following the game, he loves his music. He was pounding out tunes to The Greatest Showman. Shout out to Aussie Hugh Jackman and my boy Zac Efron. So he's certainly happy, and I'm sure he'll get a few more votes for that. And Hugh Jackman, I'm sure, was listening.
It's I tweeted about it yesterday. It's amazing how the Pacers can look like a sixth seed or a seventh seed in the playoffs with Victor Oladipo, and then look like the worst team in the East without Victor Oladipo. the impact he's had on the floor this year has been incredible. And like you both mentioned, it's always cool to see Indiana players get love from me personally, because it's one of those smaller market teams. And Oladipo has played like the third or second best guard in the East when he's been on the floor.
Yeah, I think the fact that, you know, Indiana struggled so much with him being out has only helped this case. And, you know, like even you going to the season, Corey and I, we weren't super high in the Pacers, but the fact Oladipo has really changed that, his impact on the game, just being such an offensive force, is really the energy he brings. I think energy is really big out of your key guys, and it kind of infuses the whole team with some spark.
For sure. I mean, there's one more thing on Oladipo. The first 11 minutes he played in the last night's game, he had 14 points, four assists, two rebounds, and four steals. Like, that's the first game back from missing five games. Like, that's, you love to see that, especially against a Bulls team, which has been really, really, really good this, like, you know, this past, you know, 2-3 weeks. They really surprised, and that was a good jump.
Yeah, it was like Steph when in his comeback game. It shows the good players are always going to be good, no matter how much time they've missed it. It's almost like we forget how good they are. And Oladipo certainly cemented himself as a great guard and deserving of all the 251,000 votes.
Some of the reason he's doing so well, obviously, is the improvement in the work he put in the offseason, but I think the Pacers have just kind of unlocked him. Like, in Orlando, you really didn't see him play like the way he did in college, where he was kind of everywhere, just super energetic. And on the Pacers, he just kind of has that green light, the free pass, to kind of just do everything and be everywhere. And I think that's really helped him a lot. To the front court side, we have Giannis Antetokounmpo, LeBron James, Joel Embiid, Kristaps Porzingis, Kevin Love, Al Horford, Jason Tatum, Andre Drummond, Enes Kanter, and Dwight Howard. It's a really talented group. So who sticks out to you and just, you know, is too high this list?
Enes Kanter has really, he's for me the Zaza Pachulia of this year's vote. Now, Enes is probably far more deserving and is actually playing quite well alongside Porzingis. But if anything, you take those 83,000 votes and give them to Porzingis, he's third in voting. So I think the Knicks, the New York market is always going to be strong, but he is quite high. Andre Drummond's a little bit too low for me. For me, I would almost have him not as a lock, but, you know, Joel Embiid and Porzingis are just more, you know, more characters that appeal to the market, the NBA market and the fans in general. Kevin Love, I like the fact that he's still in top five because he's had a really underrated good season. I tweeted out some stats of his earlier in the week. Al Horford's really not getting the love that he deserves. You know, only 120,000 votes. That's, you know, almost half of Kevin Love. Despite, you know, Isaiah Thomas and getting so many ridiculous votes, as is Dwayne Wade. I guess, you know, it's a fickle bunch, us NBA fans.
Yeah, I mean, Antetokounmpo being higher than LeBron is probably like a slight surprise, I think. Yeah, Embiid should be up there. Porzingis, as you mentioned, Jack, the New York market is obviously going to swarm against around their superstar, especially now that Melo's gone. Kevin Love has played extremely well. Al Horford was defensive player, was in the running at least the first, you know, quarter of the season. Tatum is a surprise. Yeah. You know, because he's obviously Ben Simmons has been like the leader of the rookie of the year, but as Jason Tatum showed last night against your guys' Brooklyn Nets, he's been playing some really good basketball. What do you have, six blocks last night or something?
Six, crazy? Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, he's playing really good for a 19, 20 year old. Andre Drummond, like you said too, Jack, that's kind of low. And I think Enes Kanter, he gets the votes just because I think of everything he said in the media. Like, you know, him and LeBron James going back and forth. You know, he has a mouth, and I think the mouth also draws in voters because people are like, oh, well, just vote for him because this guy has good sound bites. Because I think Dwight Howard and Kanter should probably flip. Dwight Howard's had a fantastic year to only have 57,000 votes. You know, he's been really good, especially, you know, being at least rejuvenated in Charlotte, even though Charlotte kind of sucks.
Yeah, I agree. I think, like you said, Corey, I think LeBron not being number one on the front court is super surprising, you know, but also the fact that Enes Kanter, I think some of it is the fact that he's playing a little bit better too. In New York, he's been a lot better than he was recently, and his impact on the floor has definitely helped the Knicks. And like we said, any big get a lot of votes. I think just the hype with Boston is helping him build up the votes. On this list from either the guards or the front court that surprises you that you thought would probably get in this, you know, top votes?
Spencer Dinwiddie, Nick. Nah. It was odd because, you know, we are... Nick and I... Yeah, I mean, the fandom around him and the fan popularity has been huge. And whether, like, they haven't typed in the vote correctly, haven't done the hashtag right, apparently I've read... the fact that Giannis is getting so many votes is because even if you do spell it wrong, the NBA is correcting for that. So, you know, as much as everyone's like, oh, if you spell his name wrong, you know, he's not going to get the votes. Well, as long as you get like the right amount of N's in there, I guess, he's probably still going to get the bloody votes. But yeah, Giannis getting such a huge amount of votes is awesome. But I'm surprised not to see, you know, Bradley Beal higher. Dwight Howard probably deserves more love. But it is, at the end of the day, this is a popularity contest and people will vote for whoever they want. And that's fine because I guess that's the NBA democracy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually surprised that there's no Kemba Walker on the guards list. You know, Jaylen Brown's at 51,000. I find it hard. I mean, not hard to believe, but that Kemba doesn't even have 50,000, and Dwight Howard has the most of any Charlotte Hornet. That's a little bit surprising to me.
That's a really good point, Corey. Actually, super strange, especially when you have the likes of Isaiah Thomas and Dwayne Wade ahead of him. It's kind of frustrating, you know, guys who, you know, Wade's a bench player now, and Isaiah hasn't even played, and Kemba's been electric and watching Charlotte. He's the only reason to watch a Hornets game.
And to piggyback that, Kemba was an All-Star for the first time last season, and now to see him not even on the voting is just, you know, it's a little bit interesting.
I think a lot obviously has to do with the wins, and Charlotte's just a hard market because if they're not winning, people just don't watch and don't care. But moving on to the West, let's start with the guards. Curry, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Klay Thompson, Manu Ginobili, Chris Paul, Damian Lillard, Lonzo Ball, Devin Booker, Jimmy Butler. This is on this list. Obviously, I already know what's going to pop out.
Well, it is an absolute joke that Jimmy Butler is 10th. It's also a bit odd to see him in the guards rather than the forwards. It doesn't really bother me either way, but if it prevents him from getting a spot, I'd be very frustrated as a Timberwolves fan and an NBA fan in general. His game through the latter parts of December and early January has been absolutely outstanding, and the reason why the Timberwolves have sort of had some more consistency. He's an absolute star, and the fact that he only has 88,000 votes, I'm sure market has something to do with that because, you know, you see, but at the same time, Karl Anthony Towns has, you know, 100,000 more votes than him. So it's just very strange because, you know, Jimmy Butler in Chicago was a highly revered figure. I mean, we know Chicago is one of the premier cities in the NBA. So that's truly surprising to me. Nice to see a guy like Devin Booker getting some love. Not as nice to see a guy like Lonzo Ball getting some love, but he's obviously got such huge amount of fans. Like, we saw what happened in New York when he did that pop-up store, and now his dad's chatting shit as he always does. it's nice to see Manu Ginobili, get a solid amount of votes. The Spurs fans have been out in full force, and I like it. Manu has been an absolute revelation this year. You know, there were talks of his retirement coming into the season, but he's been absolutely outstanding and probably in the sixth man of the year conversation. So good to see old man Manu getting some votes. And then up in the top four, you've got Steph, James, Russ, and Clay. So those are your more expected.
Yeah, I think Manu is kind of like that nice storyline. I
possible final year.
Right. It's let the old guy who's probably on his farewell tour get it, one last All-Star game in. I mean, he's been great. I think he has two game winners so far. Against the Knicks, he had that pass, which ended up becoming he hit it really off awesome. The pass.
That was awesome.
He's having a good year. I mean, it's still a lot of votes for Manu Ginobili. I mean, that's a lot of votes. I mean, to have him above Chris Paul, Lillard, even Lonzo and Jimmy Butler is astounding to me. And Jimmy Butler. I just keep staring at 88,000 for Jimmy Butler, and I'm just like, are people watching? Like, how does Karl Anthony Towns have, 100,000 more than Jimmy Butler when Karl Anthony Towns has been a liability on defense and Jimmy Butler has been everything for them? He's hit the big time shots. He's, it's backwards. I'm curious to know why people are voting for Towns over Butler. Lonzo Ball being there, that's just the LA effect. Because I don't even think Kyle Kuzma should be over there either. I know we're talking about the front court. It's just L.A. coming out in full effect.
Yeah, Lonzo's got that full hype train. But I think the guards have messed up. If you look at it, you could probably make an argument about the top four being right, and then the rest of it's probably super out of order. Jimmy Butler's entered into that MVP conversation, winning the MVP, but he's in the top 10 in terms of candidates. And then you look at somebody like Dame Lillard, he's been banged up, but he's obviously substantially better than, Manu Ginobili, Chris Paul right now, who's missed a lot of games. And even you could on and off all types of year, all year, but obviously the hype with, but Lonzo Ball is just a Laker hype. But let's move to the front court. KD, Anthony Davis, Cousins, Draymond Green, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Carmelo Anthony, Karl Anthony Towns, Kyle Kuzma, and LaMarcus Aldridge.
I said this on JBT Pod last week, and you can literally listen back to it, guys. iTunes, blog.radio, get on the OTG network. I said Kyle Kuzma would be top 10 in fan vote, and I am right, and it is. I wish I put money on it. I wish there was some sort of betting agency. you know, the LA market is just absolutely huge and saturated, and the Lakers are always going to get votes. If it wasn't Kuzma, it would have been Ingram. It's just that they want to have their voices heard. LaMarcus Aldridge is clearly not getting enough love. He's playing at an all-NBA level, and he should be a starter. Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, and DeMarcus Cousins. Good to see, you know, New Orleans, normally a relatively sort of shy market in terms of their NBA fandom, getting some intense love, but they've just both been absolutely outstanding, and the narrative around them might be driving that. Paul George, you know, is probably having one of his lesser seasons, but obviously he's still a star, and the OKC narrative is certainly being driven by the media. Carmelo Anthony, probably far too many votes, but we all know the huge fan base and has probably transferred from New York as well. And, you know, Carl Anthony Towns, again, as I mentioned, 100,000 more votes than his teammate. I don't think so.
All right, the front court's all wacky. The front court is complete. Like, the top four, just like the guards, make sense. You know, Durant, Davis, Cousins, Green. Yeah, they've been great. Paul George has started to find some rhythm after that terrible shooting stretch everyone in OKC had. He's been getting better. Kawhi Leonard didn't play for, you know, a majority of the season, and he's got 212,000, which is even more outlandish than Kawhi.
That trip to China this year paid off.
Yeah, and I get it. You know, Kawhi Leonard is tall. He's got that commercial where he goes full karate robot Kawhi, and obviously he's an all-star. But to have that many votes when you haven't really played is crazy to me. Carmelo is far too high. Like, LaMarcus Aldridge should not be 10.
Yeah.
Aldridge should be pretty much where Kawhi is, especially because he's turned around the narrative of his career where we said he can't play in this era of basketball anymore because he's too slow, yada, yada, yada. And because of L.A., the Spurs have been, you know, in the running for, you know, the top four seed in the West because of Aldridge's turnaround. And the Kyle Kuzma thing, that's just a joke to me. I don't get how that kid has 184,000. Like, he's been great, but that's – you got to be kidding me.
That Laker hype.
Like, how's Kuzma got more than Alonzo, too? Like, it's just wild to me.
Aldridge, I agree. I think he probably should be bumped up pretty high because he's a lot, and he's improved. And he caught a lot of media hype. I think it's really funny that OKC has, like, three guys in, you know, top 10 in both categories, considering their really bad start and only being a fifth seed. Three All-Stars, I think that'd be pretty bad, but – is there anybody in the West that you really think should be on this list that didn't catch any love?
I mean, you're looking maybe like a Nikola Jokic for Denver, CJ McCollum for Portland, but both of those guys have been, you know, have had their form sort of dip somewhat. You know, other than that, you know, this seems to be relatively okay. You could obviously replace a few guys, but you know, it's like I said, the voting is going to be the voting. And at the end of the day, like you mentioned, right up the top of the bat, Nick, the 25% from the media and the 25% from the players should correct this all. And then the reserves by the coaches should hopefully, we should have the right team out there come February.
You know what I'm surprised about? I'm surprised that no one from the Clippers is on the list. There's no Blake Griffin, there's no DeAndre Jordan, and there's no Lou Will.
Are you surprised, though?
I get Lou Will's a sixth man. But the Clippers,
The Clippers are the little brother to the Lakers. They're almost like I'm a known Clippers writer for OTG, so I shouldn't be hating on them so heavily. But they just don't have the cachet of a Lakers. And if anyone's going to talk about LA, even when you know you see Staples Center selling out for the Lakers right now, despite the fact that they have the worst record in the West. And the Clippers are doing some pretty nice things. Lou Will is probably the one that's probably most deserving at All-Star vote. He's absolutely balling out. DeAndre has been pretty good as well, doing his consistent thing on the board. So, but yeah, the Clippers, for me, it doesn't surprise me because the Clippers just don't have the love and don't have the strong fan support because at the end of the day, like, are you really going to retweet a million times for DeAndre Jordan and Lou Williams? Or are people going to care more about Kyle Kuzma and Lonzo Ball, who have, you know, the young sort of vote, so to speak? They've got the 16 to 20-year-olds that are on Twitter and retweeting 4 million times a day.
Well, what I'm thinking is, all right. So you mentioned the Lonzo Ball and Kuzma thing. I didn't even think about this. Where the hell is Donovan Mitchell?
Yeah, I was also thinking.
He's got a ton of hype, and he's not even here.
I mean, Utah, the market itself, it's never really been like a huge basketball city. We know, like, obviously Karl Malone and Stockton and Gordon Hayward was great last year and was obviously an all-star. But it is an interesting point, and I certainly hear it, Corey. But not everyone can be as smart as you, my friend. And we, you know, we need more Corey Waldrons out in the Twitter world making votes rather than these Lonzo Ball stands.
Also, I think one guy is Clint Capella. I'm surprised he didn't catch any love. He's having a good season. 2018 game. I've been saving this until Corey made his return. So what we're going to do here is I'm going to give you a team or a player, and you're going to tell me if they're going to have a better or worse 2018. So we're basing this off the first half of this season, not the whole entire year. So just the first half of this NBA season.
Sounds good.
All right, guys. Quick pace, fast. Let's start with the Houston Rockets.
Worse. The James Harden injury, I think that's just the main reason. And I think that, you know, the Spurs could even overtake them in the West at this stage if they can get Kawhi fit and running. So I think it's worse, but not by a huge margin.
I'm saying they're better. I know Harden's out for a couple weeks. When he comes back, this team stays healthy and they just catch momentum.
Just buying into that Houston Rocket stock right now. OKC.
Better. You know, they've sort of started to get things rolling. You know, things could fall apart. You know, this one's, you know, I wouldn't invest in any of the takes that I've got on this because we know OKC is certainly very rocky, but they're getting things together. Russ is starting to really run the team in his way. And Paul George and Carmelo are following suit. And shout out to Billy Donovan. I think he's sort of got the team working in his way. And I think that they, if San Francisco can make a little one of his sly moves at the deadline, I think that they could continue to climb up the Western Conference ladder.
Yeah, I'll buy. I think they're going to have a better year second half. Yeah, they had that terrible shooting stretch in OKC, and I think they're going to be a lot better.
Yeah, I agree. I think OKC definitely has an opportunity to be a lot better with the talent they have and a possibility of a move. All right, the Detroit Pistons.
Worse. We've sort of seen their form has been up and down. It's hard to really get a gauge on them. We know what you get out of Tobias Harris and Andre Drummond. But outside of that, Avery Bradley has been pretty bad of late, to say the least. So I think outside of Tobias and Andre, it's a hit and miss. So I think that they're still playoff bound, but I don't know if they're going to be top four by any stretch because the Wizards and the Raptors and the Bucks certainly have that extra talent.
I'm going to say worse. Tobias Harris, too. That's probably a guy who should have gotten more All-Star votes.
Yeah, yeah, he's definitely, at. Actually. Yep.
But I'm saying worse, too. The Reggie Jackson, it just hasn't really worked in Detroit. They're always around 8 seed. And them being worse, I think, still gets them an 8 seed in the East. But it's just another year in Detroit.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting situation because they show such flashes and then they just kind of get back to the inconsistent.
The Chicago Bulls.
Oh, this is a good one, Nick. I like the fact that you're showing some love for Chicago. I think that they want to get worse, but they might get better. Because unless that they ship out Nikola Mirotic, and for some reason, I don't know why they're bringing out Brooklyn Nets into trade rumors about this, because I don't want him, and I wouldn't care, and I would not give up any asset to acquire him. I think that they will get worse because it depends on what the front office wants. Fred Hoiberg is starting to actually get a system and players playing towards that. Chris Dunn has been great. My former rookie of the year pick, thank God he's actually playing well finally. But I think that they will get worse because it's what's best for their long-term future.
I'm going to say they're going to get better. We're finally going to disagree. Zach LaVine's coming back. They've been playing really good basketball already. Chris Dunn has completely flipped the script on what the narrative was on him, his rookie season in Minnesota. He's been great. And I think when Zach LaVine comes back, they already have some chemistry. And I kind of think they might actually catch some more momentum because Zach LaVine said, you know, some sound bites that he's probably a better shooter than he's ever been right now. He may not be able to dunk like he used to, but he's got more of a shooting touch. So I'm interested to see if that's true.
In the NBA, so definitely something to keep an eye on. And I think with Chicago, it's always an interesting thing for losing teams is, you know, do you want to keep them winning or do you want to kind of put them in a losing situation? And then you have to worry about the culture.
Yeah.
Losing culture. Even looking at Philly this year, but the culture still hasn't completely changed yet until they make the playoffs and make that full out change. It's in the headlines today, the Lakers.
I think the Lakers can only get better from here. They got rid of Andrew Bogut and they're looking to sign a shooter. I think that they crave that. I think that Lonzo is starting to hit some nice-ish form for his standards. He's very important to them. I think Brandon Ingram needs to continue to make steps forward. And I think that, you know, are they going to make a move with Julius Randle or Jordan Clarkson? Are the whole relationship between the front office and the players right now is as bad as it can be? And LeVar keeps on talking shit from Lithuania. So I don't think it can get really. I think things can only get better because they're just so damn bad right now.
Yeah, I think it gets better. LeVar Ball saying Luke Walton lost control of the locker room today is that's another just, you know, craziness. The saga just stop talking.
Yeah, I think that one could really hurt the team. Usually, LeVar, I don't really care what he says, but I think it's like that. You just kind of want to stay away from saying anything about Luke Walton, who's really done nothing wrong in the situation.
Yeah, and it's your son's team. Like, it's a bad look. Not that he shouldn't have an opinion. It's just a bad look, I think. But like you said, Jack, what happens to Julius Randle, Jordan Clarkson? Do these guys get traded? Who do they get traded for? I actually have an idea of who they're going to go after. I'm going to say it now. I think everything right now is setting them up to sign DeMarcus Cousins and Paul George. I'm starting to think those two guys end up in LA and not LeBron.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they start unloading Randle and Clarkson.
Really interesting situation and what they're going to do with them. And back to the LeVar point, I think more of the frustration should be with the front office, you know, with all these guys being not buying into the system because they don't know if they're safe and the Lakers going after these big names. And you probably can make the argument of George and DeMarcus Cousins next year, are they even contending? But are they contending with Houston or Golden State? I don't think so, but that's for another day. Let's get back to the East and some more bad teams. Let's go with the Atlanta Hawks, Corey's favorite squad.
I think the Atlanta Hawks get slightly better, but I don't think that then it's necessarily in their mind, in their goals. They might even ship out a guy like a Marco Bellinelli, who is probably one of their best shooters. You know, they're doing okay. They're almost like the Nets from last year, Nick, where they have moments where it's like, oh, wow, they're actually pretty good. John Collins, for me, is one of the most exciting rookies to watch. I love guys that can rebound, a guy after my own heart. But, you know, I think that they're going to stay at this level. You know, if we had a middle ground where it's just like, you know, level out, that's probably where I'd be. But it is your scale, and I will not mess with it. So I think that they're going to get a little bit better.
They're going to get worse.
Of course.
They'll probably make a trade.
I wouldn't be surprised if Ilyasova,
Bellinelli.
Or even Bellinelli, yeah. Maybe even Kent Bazemore if somebody will take the contract. Like I said, if anyone would. I don't think they're going to get much better. I just don't see it. I still have them winning under 20 games this year. They just have to keep – they have to suck it up more than they have been.
I think that they have a slightly better squad. Like, they have the best player out of them and the Lakers right now. And they're the two probably worst teams in the NBA. Dennis Schroeder, despite the fact that he can be, like, misguided in so many of his decisions, is a decent point guard. And Taurean Prince is a decent wing. And John Collins is a very nice rookie. And Dwayne Dedman is playing some okay basketball. But I think you guys make valid points about the fact that they should and will make a move just to ensure their shittiness, for lack of a better term.
I think the Lakers just have more guys that you're willing to probably build around. They have the KCP and then Brook Lopez when he's healthy, even though he's been terrible. They have some guys on that team that are decent. The Hawks, just vets we mentioned, but just some of the guys, I'm saying this disrespectfully, just aren't NBA-level players. So next year when they add some more talent, it'll definitely be better. But let's end this with our two teams, Indiana Pacers.
The Indiana Pacers, I reckon they get a little bit better. I think that they look good right now. And if Victor Oladipo stays healthy, they're going to push for a playoff spot. I know that there's some teams hot on their heels and they're going to be battling for it. But I think, like with most teams, health is the real key thing. Can Miles Turner continue to grow into the star that he has shown glimpses of being? I like what they have. I like their system. They're almost like a better version of our Nets, Nick, with a bit more talent. So I'm getting some positivity Corey's way because I reckon that they deserve it.
All right. Well, I'm glad you are. I think they're gonna get worse. I think there's a trade coming for the Pacers. I'm not sure if it's gonna be like a. It's not gonna be a marquee trade, but I wouldn't be surprised if Thaddeus Young possibly gets moved, because you've seen what the Pacers are without Oladipo, and you're building for the future. I want that to be like the main thing thought about the Pacers is this is not about now. This is about the future. This is about Miles Turner and Oladipo 3 years from now, not now. So I just like to see them make some moves for 3 years from now and not trying to be an 8 seed this year.
I wouldn't mind, you know, making a trade for a late first round pick or some type of young guard or wing prospect, because I think that's an area where they could add some more, you know, young talent that could help them in the future. Agreed. Now to our Brooklyn Nets, Jack.
I reckon our Nets are on the way up, my friend. D'Angelo Russell is on his way back. I think the sky isn't necessarily the limit. I reckon we might reach the top of some tall trees. I reckon that there's some real bright spots ahead for us. D'Angelo, I'm just so excited for his return whenever it happens in the coming weeks. And I'm sure that when we talk about it on the Brooklyn Buzz, it's going to be nothing but good times. And Spencer Dinwiddie has shown a lot. Joe Harris has shown a lot. There's been so many bright spots. Your boy Karras has shown a lot. And I think, you know, there might be some lulls throughout the season, and it may happen in the next couple of games where we've got a really tough stretch. But I think, you know, based off of last year, I think that we generally get better as the season goes on, because that's when a lot of the teams who are in the upper echelon sort of, you know, rest those guys and they give away those games. And that's when I think the Nets can sneak a few more.
Yeah, I actually think they're going to be better. Unlike the Pacers, they've been without their best player, and they've had the emergence of possibly their second best player in Caris LeVert. D'Lo is going to be back within the next 2 weeks, so we can assume, I think, right, from how he's coming back from the knee surgery, it sounds like he'll be back within the next 2 weeks. And I expect him to start taking off when they get him back. Okafor last night, for whatever it's worth, in those 11 or 12 minutes he played, looked really good. He looked good. He has an offensive pop. He looked more confident on the floor than I've seen him in recent years. And he had a couple blocks, which is the issue of his game as defense. And he showed some aggression. And I think when D'Lo comes back, you'll see a little bit more of a pickup. They've been banged up this last month or so. You know, DeMar Carroll has missed some time. LeVert missed one game, obviously. D'Lo has been out. They lost Jeremy Lin. I think they're just trying to find a balance. And I actually think once D'Lo comes back, you guys will gain some momentum.
Yeah, I definitely think they'll be better. I think everything in the Nets culture and organization is about player development. So if they don't get better, it's probably almost a problem. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean they need to win a ton of games, but they need to improve on the court. Back at D'Angelo Russell, when you have a Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert, it's going to give Kenny a lot of options, a lot more versatility, where sometimes you watch Nets now, hard for someone to even handle the ball because they have to put out lineups. You know, yesterday when LeVert was out, they had pretty much one point guard playing. They've still been able to win games and almost beat a Boston team. So I'm really excited to see what they do. Ford definitely impressed with his offensive pop yesterday. Defensively, he showed some things. That's just one area I think he just needs to become more confident and aggressive. I'm definitely hyped about the Nets in 2018. Save the player edition for the next episode, so we'll get out of here today. Corey, Jack, thank you. Great show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You can always listen to the NBA Outlet on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and OTGBasketball.com.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Hasta la vista. Maybe.